This is Agriculture Today.
The Environmental Protection Agency shifting its approach to over-the-top dicamba applications on dicamba-tolerant cotton and soybeans. Instead of calendar-based cutoffs, the agency is proposing a new system tied to temperature forecast, requiring applicators to use National Weather Service or NOAA data. Now, according to North Carolina State Extension Service, the new labels move away from past state-imposed cutoff dates and rely instead on daily and next-day temperatures. Applications permitted when both forecasts remain below 75 degrees Fahrenheit with 20 fluid ounces of volatility-reducing agent required. Between 75 and 85 degrees, that VRA requirement doubles. At 85 to 95 degrees, applicators either have to use reduced treated acreage by 40% or eliminate tank mix partners. Any forecast of 95 degrees or higher will prohibit use altogether. EPA says if the changes simplify compliance compared to the past 40-page labels, those state regulators caution shifting from date cutoffs might complicate planning, but if finalized, new labels could apply for the upcoming growing season. Well, with U.S. sorghum exports to China down nearly 70% this marketing year and USDA projecting a 402 million bushel crop, which is 17% larger than last year, industry leaders gathered in San Antonio for Export Sorghum 2025. United Sorghum Checkoff Program, Texas Sorghum, Kansas Sorghum, and industry partners organized the event to connect producers with new global buyers, highlighting opportunities beyond China. Now, more than 130 producers, exporters, government officials, and international delegations attended the three-day program. Sessions covered sorghum grades and standards, sustainability, supply chain reliability, and uses in livestock and pet food. USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs Luke Lindberg joined to underscore export opportunities. Structured business-to-business meetings link buyers directly with the U.S. companies, while tours across the sorghum belt showcased production and logistics from farm to port. U.S. grain transportation developments this September span policy, rail tariffs, and export activity. Six industry associations urging the Surface Transportation Board to clarify its federal preemption authority under the Interstate Commerce Commission Termination Act, citing growing uncertainty and conflicting state regulations. STB said it may formally issue policy statement by year's end. Now, on the rail side, CSX announced higher tariffs for 25-26 corn and wheat shipments to domestic destinations effective the 1st of October. Export rates remain largely unchanged. Meanwhile, STB harvest plan filings show Western carriers like BNSF, UP, and CPKC increasing grain capacity, while Eastern carriers like CSX and Norfolk Southern anticipate slightly fewer grain trains during peak harvest. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
In Nebraska, the 5-6 weights have remained pretty strong this past week, still kind of on an upward trend throughout the year.
Elliot Dennis is a University of Nebraska Lincoln livestock economist.
We started out about 350 beginning in January, and right now we're continuing to kind of hang around that 460, 465 range. A little bit of price appreciation there. We kind of be expecting things to kind of come down here over the next couple months, but really when we look at where we were last year as we started entering a pretty tight supply, was we really kind of leveled off in October rather than really take that seasonal dip that we would normally think as cattle start coming to market off grass. The big change that we've really seen this past week has been kind of the continued deterioration in kind of these yearling cattle, these 7 to 8 weights that are also coming off grass. Normally, we would also see kind of that pattern kind of level off. At least that's where we've seen kind of the last 2 or 3 years. Historically, of course, we see it kind of decline, but held pretty constant with a slight uptick in end of November, beginning of December. But this is really kind of our third week that we've kind of see those prices kind of steadily deteriorate. So that's a little bit concerning, primarily because we tend to favor placing heavier cattle into feed yards. And so really what this is showing us is just kind of that value of gain that can be put on heavier cattle is just not there. Some of that market is kind of slowing down, really in favor of lighter placement weights.
That's on the feeder side. What about boxed beef and demand?
Yeah, I think when we look at kind of where the value is in the market, some big things that are really to be said, we've really kind of hit this huge peak after kind of the really Labor Day, but a little bit beyond then. Ribeyes are, of course, you know, that's the primary driver going into the late summer months. And it really was particularly this year. When we think about where we're at in the end of July, we were basically about $10.31 a pound for a boneless ribeye. We have continued to see kind of price appreciation past this kind of the September run, and that hit as high as almost $15 for boneless cents per pound there. But over the last kind of couple weeks, we've kind of seen deterioration there, both in the chuck and the bottom. And really what's been kind of keeping things at least somewhat stable has been the loin. Loin strip prices have pretty much been level for really the last 2 or 3 months. At about $8.50. Some of the, you know, when we think about kind of boneless beef, kind of this trim, you know, we're going to get 50% trim off a slaughter carcass. Kind of this wholesale boneless fresh 90% lean prices have just continued to rise. Normally at this time of the year, we'd expect kind of a seasonal decline. And really we haven't seen that over the last 2 or 3 weeks. In fact, we've kind of seen the market kind of level out. Right now it's about wholesale market's about $4.34. And really what this means is when we think about kind of the composite, you know, value of the product is that, you know, just, it's just changing a lot of the market dynamics when we think about, you know, what's the value of the carcass and really what this means for kind of herd expansion. When boneless 90% leans is really high, there's just creates disincentives to retain back any heifers. And really when we think about kind of the coal market, just there's a lot of value in coals still. So those are some things that I've been watching really when we think about where that 90% lean is. And even though that 90% lean has remained strong, that 50% lean has continued to kind of deteriorate, worth about almost $1.40 per pound right now.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News now. Agriculture Today.
That sums up the current butter markets right now. And actually, butter, the product, has fallen 70 cents in the spot market. And it is too much of a good thing. And there's multiple layers of that right now.
Corey Geiger is a dairy specialist with CoBank.
So dairy farmers get paid, 90% of dairy farmers get paid on multiple component pricing. And the two biggest components are butter, fat, and protein. And that's about 90% of the milk check. And I like to say that butter, fat, and protein are NASCAR cars on the racetrack. And from 2000 to 2014, protein won every race. But in the last 10 years, 8 out of the 10 years, butter fat has won. And dairy farmers, through genetics, through genomics, and certainly feeding practices, have doubled down on making a lot of protein or butter fat. And this year, butter fat production is up 5% year over year, which is astronomical. We've never had a number quite like that. And protein's coming along nicely too. Now in the report, I took a look at what is happening in the global big three. The global big three is the EU, the world's largest dairy product exporter. 20% of their milk production leaves the European continent. Then comes New Zealand, small country, but one third of their gross domestic product is dairy exports. So 95% of their production leaves their shores. And the U.S. is rapidly approaching 20% here too. The bottom line is the components, butter, fat, and protein, are growing faster in the U.S. than the other two major exporters.
This really matters to cheesemakers, especially cheddar.
As I was developing a report and getting data over the past decade here, one of the big things, so if you're a mozzarella cheesemaker, you've been pulling out the butter fat for years because it's a low-fat cheese that's high in protein. Think pizza cheese. However, for years, for our entire lifetime until 2010, the inbound milk to cheese plants, you really didn't need to standardize because the butter fat and the protein ratios were pretty constant, somewhere between 0.84 and 0.8. But what's happened here, butter fat is growing faster than protein. And if you're making an American-style cheese, think cheddar, Colby, Pepper Jack, just to name a few, you need the protein-to-fat ratio to be above 0.8. Well, we fall under that. So if you're a cheesemaker making American-style cheeses, you either got to pull out more cream or butter fat, or you got to add milk protein concentrate. Milk protein concentrate, the key word there being protein, to raise the protein level. So that does add cost at the processing side.
So what is the incentive?
Well, from the cheese side, the incentive would be make more protein. Because if we get the protein content growing a little faster than butter fat, that would solve the problem. And I'm going to say right now, that's not going to be easy to do, because if you look at genetics, and for those, I've studied genetics quite a bit in my career, as also been past president of Holstein Association USA. Butter fat and protein are correlated traits. That means they're connected. They're correlated. And their correlation is 0.8, like 80% correlated. So if you put pressure on protein, butter fat's going to improve by 80%. That's what that correlation means. So there's a lot of things that we need to unravel as an industry. Plus, Tony, there's the fact that the calves that are already being carried by cows and heifers are going to enter the milking string 3 years from now. So those genetic decisions have been made already.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
We had a big announcement a month or two ago.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
Moving the bulk of the USDA out of Washington, D.C. and back into the country where we can serve our farmers and ranchers better, be closer to our constituents. And really, in President Trump's, one of his ultimate visions he cast all those years ago, coming down the escalator in Trump Tower. That escalator actually worked, y'all. Coming down that escalator was returning the power to the people and deconstructing the administrative state and getting government off of the backs of the American worker and certainly the American farmer at the top of mind. So we announced that big decision. It made a lot of people in Washington very unhappy that we're moving the significant portion of the 5,000 employees in Washington that work for USDA. But I just couldn't be more resolute, convicted, encouraged, and excited about that opportunity. And Governor, the fact that we're coming back and bringing another big crew to Kansas City is really exciting. So I'll be back more.
She does understand the dire situation farmers are facing.
The cost of doing business for our farmers has increased drastically while commodity prices have slumped. The last administration's policies that drove up inflation and often ignored the needs of our farmers and ranchers. Instead, the trade, energy, agriculture, and foreign policy agenda of the last administration was so driven by a different focus, one that looked a lot at DEI and Green New Deals and increased regulations and excessive spending. That administration did virtually nothing to enforce the hard-fought deals that President Trump won and signed no new trade agreements in 4 years, which is still astonishing to me. Zero trade agreements, allowing other countries to erode America's global market share and reducing global demand for our American row crops. As a result, America's agriculture trade balance deteriorated from a surplus when we walked out, and I was one of the last six, I think, out just a few hours before President Biden was inaugurated in the last Trump administration. When we walked out, we had a surplus for our ag commodities around the world. When we came back, there was a $32 billion deficit last year, and this year, as we're riding the ship, that won't begin to take effect until next year. We're going to be close to a $50 billion ag trade deficit. We didn't get here in a day, and we're obviously not going to fix all of that in a day or a month or even a couple of months. But the hardship that is being experienced out in our heartland is the consequence of, as I mentioned, decades of poor policy and neglect and not putting the American farmer at the center of policymaking in Washington. But we also know that as the president is looking at the long-term fix, the complete realignment of the world economy around American agriculture and American goods, that there are bills that are due this month. As we move into harvest, there are loans that have to be secured in the next 8 to 12 weeks to plant for next year, that there are mouths to feed tonight, and we have to make some difficult decisions right now. I do not have a silver bullet. I have stayed up many nights wishing for a silver bullet, praying for a silver bullet. But what I do know we have is the full force of the Trump administration and President Trump and a USDA team that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, month after month, committed to the prosperity of our American agriculture community. Relief under the ECAP and SDRP is hopefully already reaching many of our farms and ranches, and where help is still needed, we are exploring every option available.
It's Agriculture Today.
In today's tough farm economy, you need to make every dollar count. When choosing your cotton, consider West Texas varieties from Brownfield Seed and Delining. At only $125 a bag, these West Texas varieties are large seeded varieties that shoot out of the ground and have the yield potential that will have you smiling all the way to the gin. Think outside the box and boost your bottom line with cotton seed from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We were really thrilled to partner with the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council on export sorghum this year.
Norma Ritz Johnson is with the United Sorghum Checkoff Program on an event known as Export Sorghum.
It's an event that we hold every other year, and it couldn't be more timely in terms of trying to find new market opportunities around the globe, as well as to catch up with and continue to maintain relationships with our traditional customers. So basically what the event is we bring in, along with the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council, delegations of the top end-use industry representatives from literally countries all around the globe, circling the world. And so that includes folks with the feed industry associations, major livestock producers, major consumers in those countries. And we spend a day and a half sharing information about the value proposition that U.S. sorghum presents, sharing opportunities about the outstanding crop and the outstanding quality of sorghum from U.S. sorghum producers. And then we host them looking at the entire value chain for sorghum all across the sorghum belt, visiting farms, visiting export facilities, visiting universities where they're hearing about processing technologies. And so it's really a great opportunity to continue to grow competition around the globe for U.S. sorghum.
So who attends this type of event?
Every other year we host this event, and we've been hosting the event roughly since 2016 or so. After we have hosted the event in past years, we have seen a bump in sales following the event. Of course, I don't have a crystal ball, and we all know that the market globally this year, not just for sorghum, but for all commodities, has been a bit of an anomaly and a bit unpredictable. But we really are hoping that some of the work that we've done pays off, whether in the short term or in the long term. We had not only existing customers, such as our traditional customer of Mexico, who's come back into the market this year, and we had top industry leaders and top procurement officers, for instance, from not only Mexico, but other countries that are continuing to look at buying U.S. sorghum. But we also had potential customers, such as the potential that we have in India. And so we're really looking at, continuing to work with those folks, following up after this conference and after these tours to try to continue to find markets for U.S. sorghum farmers.
She's with the United Sorghum Checkoff Program. Who are they? What do they do?
You know, the Checkoff is 16 years young and funded completely by U.S. sorghum farmers for research, promotion, and information. So every day we show up trying to increase premium markets and find those premium markets for sorghum farmers, trying to overcome production challenges and improve sorghum production for our sorghum farmers, and then working to improve the perception of U.S. sorghum, not only around the world, but domestically as well. So basically what we're involved with is research that improves the crop in working to increase yield, to overcome production challenges, and then also end-use research.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We're in this transitionary period where there's some economic forces that could push interest rates higher than what we see right now. I know no one really wants to hear that, but there's also some forces out there that where we could maybe see some relief in some lower interest rates here over the next year. So there's some variability over what we may see.
Brady Brewer is with Kansas State University.
So as we transition to what this means, if I'm thinking about if what to do as a farmer, so first, you know, I've heard of some farmers maybe putting off some asset investments because they are expecting lower interest rates here moving into the near to long term. That is a big question mark. And if I'm sitting here with some asset purchases that I need to make, I think this is where we need to get our strategy caps on and kind of prioritize what are the needs for my farm, because that interest rate relief may not be around the corner here in the near term. Interest rates are unlikely to fall below levels that we saw in 2020, so we shouldn't be making our asset purchase plans with that kind of hope that that's going to the levels we will return to. So while putting off asset purchases, you need to kind of prioritize, get a plan in place, what's going to have the biggest impact on your farm, and create know your budgets and your break even so you can get that spending plan in place to hopefully kind of minimize your interest rate expense moving forward.
But how to deal with an economy? There are two sides. President Donald Trump from the Oval Office.
They never change. They want to give money away to illegals, illegally, people that entered our country illegally. They want to give them massive federal money. And we don't want to do that because it means everyone's going to just keep pouring back. Right now, we have absolutely perfect borders like you haven't seen in many years, even better than the I had great borders during my 4 years. But these borders are stone cold closed. You can only come into our country legally now. But the Democrats want to give it all away. They want to also open up the borders. Take a look at that. Big thing. They want to open borders again after what we're going through now, getting rid of prisoners, getting rid of all of these people dropped out from mental institutions, drug dealers, drug addicts, everything. They're putting everybody into our country. It's all ended now. But this is what Schumer wants. This is what the Democrats want. They want to have and they want to take our money. We're doing well because of tariffs. We're doing unbelievable. We're making more money than we ever have made. And by the way, we're going to take some of that tariff money that we made, just to get off the subject for a second. We're going to take some of that tariff money that we made. We're going to give it to our farmers who are for a little while going to be hurt until it kicks in. The tariffs kick into their benefit. So we're going to make sure that our farmers are in great shape because we're taking in a lot of money. We're finding the other day, it was very interesting. They found $31 billion. They said, sir, we found 31. I said, you mean positively, right? They said, yeah, 31 million more than we knew. And they said, we don't know where it came from. I said, check the tariff shelf. They came back the following morning. They said, you're right, sir. It came from the tariffs. We've never seen anything like this. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking some money from all of the tariff money that we've taken, and we're going to distribute it to our farmers until the tariffs kick into their benefit, which ultimately the farmers are going to be making a fortune.
President Trump from the Oval Office. I'm Tony St. James. This is Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.